Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Ben.
And you're listening to
What's New?
Nancy Drew.
Come get a clue.
Boo boo ba doo. This podcast is part of the Fandom Limb Media Network, so go to fandomlimb.com if you want to check out other awesome pop culture podcasts.
Here on What's New, Nancy Drew, Sarah and I discuss the weekly CW episodes of Nancy Drew. Today we'll be discussing Season 3, Episode 8, Burning of the Sorrows.
We get Park back.
Immediately.
Yeah.
And he's tap, tap, tapping on the door, because that's a recurring thing this season.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got some accusations for Nancy.
Well, no accusations, just questions, I guess. Letting her know that Trot died from complications from a stroke that Temperance caused.
Did you think that was going to happen?
Yes, I did.
He didn't look so great when they ran out of the cell.
Yeah. And Park says he's investigating his death as foul play and is wondering what Nancy was doing with Temperance there.
Is Nancy a really bad liar, or is it just me?
Well, we knew she was lying, so I feel like.
Yeah. But it's interesting because she's such a good sleuth.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes when she gets a little, and this is not a read on Kennedy. This is, I think she's doing it intentionally as an actress. Mm-hmm. But she gets a little deer in the headlights sometimes as Nancy.
Well, yeah. And Park says she has a tell.
Yeah. It's like her eyes get giant.
Yeah.
I did really like that she asks him if there's anything else. And he gets kind of like close to her. And says, I'll get back to you on that.
Okay, so you were getting that too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
As Team Pantsy. Narc?
I think it's Narc. Agent Narc.
As someone who supports Nancy and Park getting together, and we've talked about how that could be a thing this season, it was nice to get that little moment of tension where I was like, oh, I think you're waiting to see if she's a criminal, to see if there is something else,
mm-hmm.
i.e. a date.
Yeah. And then we go over to the Historical Society where Bess and Temperance are talking, and we find out that this is no longer the Frozen Heart Killer in a hat. It's Copperhead.
Yeah, why wait till episode 8? And why just make up a random name?
So I'm guessing it's because it was trying to tie us back to Temperance when she was younger.
I will still call him Hat Guy.
Or like Frozen Heart Killer. I mean, that's a pretty good name too.
It's pretty direct. I feel like that's what all the newspapers have been doing back since Alaska. So
yeah. And that trap was the creepiest thing I've ever seen.
Oh my God. And everyone, the like, it had big teeth things sticking up. It was like a bear claw from hell.
Yeah.
And everyone kept like hovering above it. I'm like, get away.
Yeah, it's going to snap.
Temperance, I have been saying this forever. She isn't shady and she is not to be trusted.
Mm-hmm.
She sees it and she gets kind of excited. She's like, oh, you want to torture Hannah? I'm like, Bess, how many red flags do you need?
She needs a lot.
Clearly more than she's getting.
Yeah. And then just in case Bess misses a sign, some caution tape starts rolling towards her.
It could have been anything, but it said caution, caution, caution.
Yeah.
What do you think that's going to be about?
We'll get to it at the end.
Yeah.
Because I got my theory.
Awesome.
But before Bess can like deal with the caution tape, Temperance sees a soul splitter and that gets her attention.
She picks it up and I should not have had this reaction, but I was like, put that down. I was like, that is an emotional piece. That has nothing to do with you. And she gives herself credit for Bess's successes.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, just a few days ago when I found you, you couldn't even do this. Now look how great I've made you.
Yeah, I was right to put my faith in you.
Yeah. And then Nancy shows up and boots her.
Yeah. So was that planned, do you think? Do you think that Nancy and Bess had planned to get Temperance there to find out what mystical bait that they were going to use with the intention of stealing it later?
I'm not sure. I'm going to be really honest. This episode confused me a bit with all of Temperance's motivations, but then also her history.
Mm-hmm.
The ghost stuff, I had trouble following it in this episode versus some of the other ones.
Okay. But yeah, I'm right there with you.
What I didn't have trouble following is Nancy's feelings towards Temperance. And I really, really like that she's like, get out.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I have sworn to protect Horseshoe Bay from evil. And that counts you.
Yeah, she says, I refuse to be a pawn in your game. Sorry, Nancy.
Would have been helpful 8 episodes ago.
Right. And then George and Ace are looking for information on Nick because Nick is still missing.
Is that the same outfit George was wearing after she was brought back to life? Or not brought back to life, but like had her soul put back in?
I don't remember.
I felt like it was. So I feel like, and that makes sense because if Nick went missing like the night before or like she's just frantic.
Mm-hmm. I like that touch then.
Of her just like not sense. Having slept, not having.
Mm-hmm.
And it follows the show with how it's like every episode mm-hmm. is boom, 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 boom.
Right.
We get the first reference here of Ace feeling a little guilty about couch mooching. And he's like, oh, did Nick leave because I've outstayed my welcome? I'm like, all right, buddy, way to project. This is clearly mm-hmm. not about you.
Right.
And George is like, is he running from the IRS? What did he say? She was like looking through his bills or something.
Oh, is he running from jury duty?
Yeah, jury duty. Yeah. Not the IRS. Slightly different.
Is he avoiding me? Are we not okay? And yeah. Ace is like, I thought you were okay.
Right. But also like, did you? Because the last scene we saw of you with them, wasn't that when they were awkwardly fighting and you left the room?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Come on, Ace.
Yeah. And then knock, knock, knock. We get Ryan at the door. And he's going to help look.
And George was like, okay, bye. I'm going to go check the claw again.
Yeah. Ace says it would be better if they split up unless you're having an existential crisis and don't want to be alone with your thoughts. I was like, that's a weird thing to say.
What is Ryan going through right now that Ryan's like, yeah, let's stay together? Because I feel like
Ace... Ryan just wants to be with people.
Yeah. I don't know. Ace was kind of rude to him throughout the episode.
Oh, absolutely.
I wonder if any of that's left over from having to baby him. Yesterday when he was a teenager.
Oh yeah, that could be. Just a little bit bitter about it.
Bitter about it and also like, you know, not knowing how Ryan's still feeling about it. So maybe that's mm-hmm. what he was referring to.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
But yeah, I think you're right. I think Ryan really just wants friends and wants to be involved.
Yeah, and he wants to help. So they take off together and we go over to Icarus Hall where Bess is returning Temperance's grimoire. And then asking again for help.
The character Temperance is doing some bad dinner theater here. She's like dramatically sauntering through the room. It's like, Nancy treats me like I'm a villain. It's like, girl, you are a villain.
Yeah.
It was very funny and very...
You created a wraith that was attached to her, killing her.
And you bathed in her blood. Mm-hmm. I feel like that should have been the end of them talking to you, was you yeah. bathing in her blood.
Yeah, I liked Temperance's line, are you with her or are you with me?
Yeah, that was really good to set up, to set up mm-hmm. Bess's conflict. She's like, I'm with both. It's like, yeah, for now.
Yeah, until Temperance leaves the room after saying she can't handle the power alone and Bess steals the whale tooth mystical bait and meets up with Nancy in the woods.
Yeah, she's like, can we please move farther away from Icarus Hall? And I liked that Nancy was like, I'm sorry, but that's where Copperhead Hat Man showed up first. And I was like, yeah, it is. That's mm-hmm. why y'all should not be trusting her.
Yep.
They set the trap. Bess says her little spiel. And then they go and hide behind like a fallen tree, which was very cute to
yeah.
me.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, what if Copperhead comes from that direction?
He walks right yeah. by them.
Like, excuse me, guys. I'm going to go over here to get that whale tooth.
A step over yeah. you. Park walks up and he's like, so we're just crouching in the woods now. I laughed out loud.
Yes. And Bess goes, yeah, it's really good for the quads.
She's so quick.
She is.
This is where he's like, okay, so funny because last time I was at Icarus Hall, like, Bess, you were here and Temperance wasn't blah, blah, blah. And Bess is... response is that, you know, that happens.
Yeah.
He's like, really? Because I feel like you were trying to get me away. That's the same time that Trout had his stroke. So he's like completely onto them. And then mm-hmm. the wildest light show happens in the forest.
Yes. Yeah, some kind of light monster's there, and Temperance is there, and
screaming and running to get away from it.
Yeah, she gets hit.
Yeah, after she pushes people out of the way.
Yeah, well, she saved their lives by mm-hmm. pushing them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, is it really saving someone's life when you set it all up?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, she gets zapped, and they scamper off like scared little bunnies.
One of my favorite lines is they're running away, and Park's like, you guys have calmly skipped past the premise, and Bess just screams, oh, I'm not calm. I rewound it, because I was like, what did she say? Because she's just like bellowing it. Oh my God, it was so funny.
That was a great moment. And wasn't Nancy's response something along the lines of, oh, he's referring to the fact that we're not, you know, questioning the supernatural thing. Mm-hmm. If he didn't know about supernatural stuff before, he definitely does now.
Mm-hmm. It seemed like he didn't. From his attitude, it seemed like he didn't know about it.
He does admit to having heard some things about Horseshoe Bay, and he mentions a couple of the different, like, legends or the different experiences that we've had throughout the season.
Uh-huh.
Series.
Yeah, he said something about, like, the hotel, the haunted mm-hmm. hotel, which was proven by Nancy not to be haunted. The owner messing with people or whatever.
Kind of a nice throwback to the books of being yeah. like, well, I heard about these things, but those things weren't real.
Mm-hmm.
So they get inside and they start closing all the windows.
Yeah. And then this is when we learn that Park says that, you know, Nancy's like, you're cool with the supernatural, you know, even though science can't explain it. And he's like, no scientific explanation is needed for everything. She lets him know that there's the frozen heart killer is supernatural. And they're like, triage, let's deal with the light monster. Let's get Temperance back. And then we can deal with everything else.
It's a recurring theme with their friend group. Like, mm-hmm. one thing at a time.
Yeah.
Then we get a new character.
Yeah, Eve is just hanging out in the office writing a note to Ned.
Loved that she calls him Ned.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out that this is someone from Ned's past. And George, rightfully so, is super suspicious.
Yeah.
She's like, that's weird that you show up the day he's missing. Oh, wait, not missing. Ha 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 ha.
Yeah. And so she invites her along to help search for Nick, Ned Nick. And notices Eve's outfit and is like, oh, is this your first time to Maine? Oh, is it that obvious?
Yeah, and it's because she just had on like a light windbreaker.
Mm-hmm.
Is George the one that's commented about tourists don't know how to dress yeah. in another episode?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
George, who's always wearing crop tops.
Right. But yeah. I guess she's like used to it.
Right.
But still, in this one, she had like a leather jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Not the purple one that you really like, but.
No.
It was cute nonetheless.
Yes.
She's always, her outfits.
They're always cute, I think.
I think she's the best dressed on the show.
I think I agree. All right. And then we, over at the Historical Society, they decide to go, Ace and Ryan decide to go look for Nick there because, you know, there's only three places where Nick could be, his apartment, the Claw, or the Historical Society.
Oh my God. There's a knock knock. Did you mm-hmm. love this? The knock knock joke.
Yeah. Probably just old pipes too.
It was cute.
It was a very cute dad joke.
And it also, like, I didn't see it coming. So when it did, I was like, oh, it just broke the tension of, like, what scary thing's happening now?
Mm-hmm. Ace is just continuing with his blaming himself for staying on Nick's couch and that being the reason why he's gone. And then asking Ryan, hey, so you've been a freeloader for a month now. When does that feeling go away?
I was wondering if the locked door and the knocking and all that was like a manifestation of his insecurities because I was like, Ace, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And yeah. And then he's rude to Ryan.
He was so rude to Ryan. But he talks about like being a grown man who can't afford rent.
Yeah. You know?
And so I think he thinks he should be doing better, that he just got dumped by Amanda because he made poor choices and then his family dumped him. And then he thinks that maybe he's pushing away his friends.
Yeah, well, the best way to not push away your friends is to not be rude to them.
Right.
Which we've all been there. That's a thing through growing
up. It is, but, yeah.
But then he says, you're allowed to be couch guy. I was like, Ace.
First of all, true.
Ryan came from this super privileged, super rich family, and then, you know, drama, drama, death, murder, chaos, yeah. and got cut off from them. So yeah, he is allowed to be couch guy. Everyone's allowed to be couch guy. Like, Ace, don't be so hard on yourself.
Right.
Not everybody advances at the same speed.
So where is Bess sleeping? Have we figured this out yet? Because
we don't
Ryan's
know.
On the couch.
Yeah, we don't know.
I don't know if there's another couch. Or if Ace has to sleep on Nick's couch, then I guess there's not other apartments there that he could stay in.
Yeah, because we'd been thinking maybe Bess could just go live at Nick's, but yeah. apparently not, because she wasn't mentioned this at all.
Yeah.
And I feel like it'd be a little soon for her to be at Addie's.
Oh,
is
yeah.
she staying at the Historical Society? No. That would be scary knowing
no,
that.
No, I think she is staying at the Drews. I just don't know where.
Maybe they have a guest bedroom that they were like, well, I guess now that there's 12 people living here, we can let you move up to the guest bedroom.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess it doesn't matter. But she should definitely not sleep at the Historical Society because of Hat Guy Copperhead.
Yeah.
Creepy.
I also really like how... like the door closes and they can't get out. And so Ace knocks on it and he's like, hey, let us out. Thinking, oh, yeah, I'll just talk to the ghost. It'll be fine.
See, maybe I've just been watching too much of the show because to me that made sense. I had the problem with Ryan be like, who are you talking to? It's like, what do you mean? Who is he talking to? He's talking to the ghosts that are locking you in there.
Yeah. But, well, I mean, Ryan doesn't have as much experience with it all.
Correct. And then he's like, maybe it's rusty hinges. I'm like, you have more experience than that.
Yeah. Yeah. That was just wishful thinking.
For sure. Then we go to the Burning Sorrows. We find out that it burns people to feed on their worst memories.
Their worst heartbreaks. Yeah.
Bess now is feeling some sort of way about her lack of experience and trying to do the spell or whatever without Temperance when Temperance had warned her that she wouldn't be able to, that she wasn't powerful enough. So Bess has a little moment freaking out about that.
Yeah. But then the good news was if the Burning Sorrows eats your worst heartbreak before you die, then it goes into hibernation. You know, there's some silver lining. And so they think, oh, let's just give it our heartbreaks. It'll take those and then it'll leave.
Oh, and then my beloved Bess says, I've got heartbreaks to spare. And she like storms over to the window.
Yeah.
She just starts spouting off all the terrible things that have happened to her in the last three seasons.
Yeah.
And then Nancy chimes in about her mom and everything. And then...
and Cecilia. And very notably, there was no mention of Owen, her boyfriend who was killed because of her.
Poor Owen.
Yeah.
Sarah.
You forgot about Owen.
I did not even catch that. Like, yeah. No part of me caught that. That's funny. And then Park chimes in. So he just jumps in to help, which I appreciate that about him. And we find out later that so does Nancy. And he mentions Eleanor Harris. What was your thought when that happened?
I was thinking, okay, we're going to learn more about Park's backstory this episode.
Yeah.
But I didn't know. I was thinking it was like someone that he lost, but I didn't know in what capacity.
Yeah. I was like, okay, so maybe this is a love interest, which is where Nancy's brain goes. I was excited. There was a millisecond of me being like, wait, were we supposed to know who this was? Like just a little bit of like, ooh, like, did I miss something at some point? And that's not the case. So,
but unfortunately sharing all these heartbreaks doesn't do anything. Because the Burning Sorrows wants Temperance. It marked her, and that's who it's going for.
So they've got to find out what Temperance's greatest heartbreak was. And Nancy makes some snarky comment about, she's not capable.
Yeah.
And then we see a ghost, and we find out that it's a ghost of her daughter.
Yeah, Charity. Temperance yells out, you can't have her. That's a pretty good clue of what her alleged heartbreak is.
Mm-hmm. Then we go over to the youth collective where I have a big question about this. If Jesse's there with George, who's at the claw? We know Nick's not there.
No, they're close for inventory, I'm sure.
Have to be, definitely. To the point where I actually like paused it. I was like, is that Jessie? Yeah. Did I get confused about the sisters? Because clearly she's the only one that could do anything.
Yeah.
She is there helping George, and she's asking if George has looked up Eve. George is like, yeah, I looked up her social. And she's like, or not social, her social media. And Jessie's going to go a little further in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jessie's like, you're not the only one who gets to be overprotective, which I thought was kind of good, because I feel like George does kind of overlook Jessie and how responsible and her caretaker role for her sisters and everything, that they're very much the same person.
They've touched on it, mm-hmm. but it's good to have the reminder.
Right.
Then we get the kids asking questions about Nick to Eve. And I got a little confused here. She talks about his past, or like they bring up his past. Was she not clear about his past, or was she confused about why the kids knew about it?
I think she was confused why they knew about it. Well, they didn't know about anything of his past besides he played football and then he went to jail.
Gotcha. It was a weird line. Like, yeah. It just read me kind of funny both yeah. times. But then we see Addie. We've got Addie back.
Yeah.
It's nice to have her there, functional. Obviously, Nick's gone, so someone's got to be running the youth center.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like there were more kids again.
Yeah. And Addie tells George about how they got to talking about a walkabout.
This had me nervous. I was like, George is not going to be happy that Addie knows stuff that George doesn't know. Mm-hmm. But also, George, maybe if you talk to your fiance, he would have to talk to other people.
Right. So
it's good to have other relationships. But
yeah, when Addie's like, well, what's been on his mind recently? And George says, you know, that's a very good question. Yes, she has had important things going on, like, you know, meeting her birth father and being dead in 10 years. That's kind of a downer. It makes you think about stuff.
But now that she's alive, she needs to get over it. I'm just kidding.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And then Jessie pulls through with some info, texts it to George, and George bounces. And we see Eve being like, where are you going?
Yeah. And Eve's like, hey, can you unlock the door?
I sure the heck won't. So George is like, you lied to me. You've been to Maine. Was that a picture of her with Nick?
Yeah.
Okay. And then George drives off and leaves her because she lied to her.
Yeah. And Eve says, I forgot that was on my timeline. Which doesn't explain anything.
No, it explains that you know you're being shady and you're mm-hmm. admitting to getting caught.
Yeah.
That's all that explains.
Yeah.
And then George is like, go put on proper clothing or go warm up.
Go inside before you freeze to death.
I was like, George, she could be really bad news bears. Mm-hmm. You just found out that she's lying. Not that liars are evil necessarily.
Right, when your fiance goes missing and then someone from his past shows up lying.
Yeah. You that's bring very her along and trick her or mm-hmm. like trap her or turn her into somebody. You don't just be like, go back with the kids inside.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's what Nick would want.
Right. Come on, George. Then we go to Nancy, Bess, and Park, and they are filling Park in on some of the supernatural information.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, okay, so that projection, she was from a different era. And they're like, well, yeah, Temperance is kind of like 200 years old.
NBD.
Yeah.
He has a line saying, few things are less heartbreaking than the loss of a child. And I was like, oh, is this person that he mentioned, like, did he lose a little kid?
Mm-hmm.
Which we find out it is a kid, but it wasn't his child. And I was very sad for him, but I was also like, how old is he? But I was like, well, yeah, he's a detective. He's totally old enough to have a kid.
But not too old for Nancy.
Correct. Definitely need to clarify that. No, he's like, what, 20, 21, 22? Yeah. 23.
Probably like 25.
He's fine. It's fine. We've got Nancy being real harsh to Temperance.
Yeah, Bess is like, tread lightly. And Nancy's like, how'd your daughter die?
What's the opposite of treading lightly? Stomp, stomp, stomp.
Yeah. But I like how that Park like swoops in too. And they're doing like a good cop, bad cop. They're working very well as a team there.
Okay. I really like them.
I do too.
Okay. Are we bad? Are we bad Nace shippers? Because I still want Nace, but like, this season, Ace is not it for me.
Ace is not ready for his end game yet. Ace needs to find himself.
Yes. Especially after all the Amanda stuff. Like he needs time to grow.
Right. So Nace will happen.
I don't know. I'm very happen. I'm very team Pansy right now.
Pansy.
Parsi? Team Parsi.
No, I like Pansy. Temperance isn't telling him anything. So they end up going and looking it up in the records, and they find that Charity died in July 2nd, 1863, age 18, survived by her husband. And then Temperance finally chimes in. You know, he's the reason she's gone.
Her husband with the terrible beard.
That was a giant beard. But I guess that was the style in 1863. But she died at the Battle of Gettysburg. She was in the 20th Maine Regiment.
Is this where we see the soul splitter?
They were confused. How did Temperance see this? Because she was presumed dead and in hiding at that year. And she said that she risked everything to go see her daughter, and that the women in white split Charity's soul into four pieces, entwined them as four soldiers on the battlefield, and then Temperance could never find her. And they decide that has to be the worst heartbreak. Let's let the light monster in, and it eats all the ghosts, and they close the window.
And it, like, makes her glowy little arm mark giant.
Spreads down her arm. She gets worse. No pulse.
And then we get to your favorite trope, where Nancy slices her hand open again.
Yeah. Do we want to take a quick break?
Yeah. We'll be right back.
And we're back. Bess is very smart and remembers, oh, well, Nancy, your blood helped her last time. And Park's like, what? And Bess takes a little bit left of the bottle and drops it on Temperance, and it does help her wound. And so Nancy's like, fine, stupidly cuts her hand open when you could have cut anywhere else.
I did really appreciate that she got woozy. Mm-hmm. She got like weak.
Yeah.
And this was the first time that I've noticed that them showing there be actual
repercussions from bleeding out.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't do well when I have to give blood or get blood taken. And so I always like need candy and stuff. And so Bess is like, oh, I think there's a juice box.
Yeah.
Why does Temperance have juice boxes? I mean, for all the times that these people be cutting themselves open for sacrifices and such, I'm sure.
And then Park's like, okay, I'll be right back. And he takes off too. And I was like, that's a little weird. I feel like someone should have stayed with her. Whatever. It gave us.
Where did he go?
I think he went to go get the wrap so he could wrap.
Yeah.
So I think he had good intentions. It was just a little strange.
On the
yeah.
floor. He might have needed a moment. There's a lot to take in.
There was a lot to take in.
He needed a walk about the room.
And then Nancy gets a phone call for Brian, and he's trying to ask for help because him and Ace are locked in that room. And Ace takes a phone and like, nope, like will not ask for help.
Yeah, keeping info from her. And Ryan's noticeably annoyed.
Well, yeah, he is trapped by a ghost. I would be noticeably annoyed too if my daughter was the one that could help me.
It was appreciated that Ace was like, well, she has something else going on. Because I feel like a lot of times they don't all necessarily acknowledge that there are other big issues happening at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But this felt like a weird time for him to be like that, for Ace to acknowledge that. It seemed more like he just didn't want to be a burden, and he's being
very
prideful.
I think that's exactly what it was. Yeah, because it did make sense the other time when he got himself into trouble, into that situation. Then he's like, okay, well, this is my mess to solve, because she's dealing with other more important things. And Nancy's like, oh, well, I got you on the phone. I have this favor. Can you look at those pictures of Matthew Burke's tent? So Matthew Burke was the first victim of the Copperhead. And he had all these things about the Hudson family. And she wants to know if any of it was about Gettysburg.
Use an Ace even when she's bleeding out.
Exactly. But yeah, Ace is like, I'm tired of leaning on other people to clean up my messes. And you should be too.
Yeah. He's getting so short with him.
Yeah.
And Ryan stands up for himself and is like, don't bring it out. Don't take it out on me. And I really liked this because I was feeling like Ryan might be the one to realize that mm-hmm. Ace has feelings for Nancy. And here it's alluded to because he's like, whatever's going on with you and Nancy. And he's like, what? This doesn't have anything to do with Nancy. And Ryan's like, keep telling yourself that. So like, yeah, he knows.
Yeah. You were just saying that like last week.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was very exciting.
It was a good moment. All right. And then we get a very sweet scene of Park helping bandage Nancy up, which love that they're leaning into this potential romance right after you get a scene of Ace being like, I don't have feelings for Nancy. Mm-hmm. It was a good transition.
Yeah.
So he's bandaging her up and she asks about Eleanor Harris. And this was tragic.
Yeah, it was. So she's like, is she the one who got away? Ha 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 ha. This was much worse than an ex. He never met Eleanor Harris, but he was in a psych residency when she was brought in from a school shooting. She had died immediately, but no EMT wants to declare a 6-year-old dead on the scene. And I was like, wow, that is a powerful line.
So he was there and it was just traumatic for him.
Yeah. Seeing her parents like break down.
Okay.
And so this is why he doesn't carry a gun as well.
Did we know that he didn't carry a gun before this?
No. So I like that Nancy like just she picked up on that.
Yeah. I wonder what he does have though, because he's a detective and he can get himself into some tricky situations. So I don't know if maybe he has a taser.
Yeah.
I don't know. We know that he'll throw himself on top of a person to protect them from a bomb. So. Yeah.
So one of the creators, Melinda Sue Taylor, she said the Park story came from her reaction to Sandy Hook because her kids were the same age as those kids. And that's why she decided there will be no guns or gun violence in Nancy Drew or Tom Swift.
Oh, wow. Yeah, there haven't been.
Yeah. I thought that was kind of neat that she was doing that.
That's powerful. And that's something that I didn't notice. But now that you say it, I'm like, oh, yeah.
I mean, people get knifed in bathtubs and stuff, but...
Naturally.
That's very forgettable. After talking about all that, Nancy also realizes there was something important about what Temperance said, that there was a pawn from the Women in White that was at Gettysburg. So then they go to talk with Temperance about the Women in White. And she says, yeah, those were my dearest friends, but until they turned against me. And we see Cora Dow.
And we see the creepy doll from the basement.
Yeah. So I started getting suspicious of Temperance at this part. Because I'm like, okay, there's clearly a connection here that this doll was with your daughter.
There was no point during this episode that I didn't think she was doing something shady.
Well, I thought she was actually like hurt.
No, I don't feel like I did think she was actually in danger because I want her to go away. So I didn't think that she was actually in danger of going away.
Yeah.
So you got suspicious of her with the doll. How come?
Well, because we knew the doll was with Copperhead. It was very important to him. So now that it's in Temperance's memories, like there's obviously a connection. And so I didn't know what the connection was, but we learned there that Cora Dow convinced Charity's father to take Charity away from Temperance and then married her off to her son. But then her subconscious starts pushing back and they materialize and start fighting against Park and Bess and Nancy.
Yeah, I wrote the ghosts get physical.
Physical.
Physical. Yeah, but they like blast them across the room.
Yeah.
Poor Bess.
And they keep coming at them and Nancy's like, okay, let's let the light in. It killed the specters last time. So let's use it as a weapon. And so they do. And it takes out the specters that are attacking them. Mm-hmm. And then Nancy's like, what is a greater heartbreak than losing your daughter? When did you actually lose Charity? And we see that Charity chose Beckett Dow to get married to. So Cora Dow's son. Mm. And Beckett Dow is the one who made the soul splitter. So realizing that was when she actually lost her daughter, that she thought there's no getting her back because my daughter is leaving me behind. They decide that has to be the greatest heartbreak. Let's the light in to eat that heartbreak. And it burns Temperance up.
Yeah, she gets like toasted. So does that mean that that's still not her greatest heartbreak? Or does that mean that the system is flawed and that they don't actually know what they're doing? Like, I didn't know how to read it.
No, I think that was her greatest heartbreak.
Okay. So they kind of stop the monster.
Yeah.
But it, like, burns her badly.
Yeah.
Okay. I just don't know if I trust any of it. Because especially at the end with Temperance revealing that she, like, caused all, like, she, this was a plan, a trick. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, what did it actually need the heartbreak? Like, did that?
I think so. I think that was actually her heartbreak.
Okay.
Was her daughter betraying her.
I just, once she was like, he, I'm so tricky, dear daughter, in my diary. I was like, mm-hmm. Well, then I don't believe anything that just happened. Like, I didn't really know what I was supposed to be thinking.
Well, I think most people, the heartbreak would be when the daughter actually died.
Right. But she felt more betrayed.
Right. That's how I'm taking it. So Ace is hard at work at the Historical Society looking for pictures of Matthew Burke's tent.
Mm-hmm. And Ryan is deciphering the knocks.
Yeah, he's getting real sleuthy here.
Yeah.
And counting them out and is like, okay, well, this could be a time. It could be a month. And him and Ace together, you know, realize, oh, this could be a timestamp. And so it goes 12/11/943. And that's when the caution tape rolls right at Bess.
Yeah. And then the next one they watch, I didn't love this. It was Bess and Addie macking on the desk. Mm-hmm. And the boys are just like watching for a moment. I'm like, okay, I guess that's okay. But it just felt a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, I actually didn't think they had like, it wasn't as strong reactions as when
they were
it happened with the others.
Super pervy. They were looking for the correct stuff. But there was a little bit of like, we're watching these girls.
Yeah.
I don't know. And so they didn't really find anything, right? Or they found that it was like glitching?
Yeah. So like paper rolled out of the way on that one. So something moves without being touched and then the video is glitching.
Now, during the makeout scene, the first time I did notice that the paper had moved. It was like the like map rolled up or something.
Yeah. And then also in one of the earlier episodes where Bess has like the coaster that moves.
Yeah.
I remember seeing that and being like, okay, well, that's going to be important at some point. And then I forgot about it until I rewatched it.
Interesting. I wonder what it is. Do you think Hannah's like trapped or something? Do you think?
That's what I think. I think that this is Hannah.
Because Hannah like went into the room and then we've never seen her again, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's related to the Frozen Heart Killer? Or do you think it's a completely separate problem?
I think it's related. I also think that she's the mysterious knock on Nancy's door.
Oh, well, yeah, because this is knocking. So that this is Hannah, it would make sense that she's also knocking.
Mm-hmm. But why? I don't know why she would have become a ghost or if she is a ghost or what's happening.
Also, was Hannah already disappearing when the knocking happened at Nancy's door the first time?
If I'm remembering right, Nancy's reading the letter from Temperance and then the blackout happens. And when the blackout happens in the security footage, that's when Hannah grabs the key and goes down there.
So yeah, so we haven't seen Hannah since the knocking.
Yeah, and then right after that is when the knocking happens. So that would be really fast for Hannah to be doing the knocking.
Sure.
But
it could be something that has her. Like there could just be some, it could be connected.
Yeah.
Timing wise. But then why did this knocking happen with Ryan and Ace, the Morse code knocking almost? Mm-hmm. Why would that happen versus any of the times that Bess has been in there? Why did it try to communicate through Ryan and Ace?
I think because it was like with the footage, they knew that Ace would be able to, like, he's the computer guy. He could figure it out.
That makes sense. And then Ace is like, hey, I'd love to help you, but I don't have the technology. But if you open the door, and it does.
Yeah.
So, yay.
Yeah. So they go out to his car and Ryan's like, okay, what's next? And Ace is like, well, I need to get my laptop and I need to get some audio gear and I can drop you off on your couch on the way.
Why is he still being rude?
I don't know. He has got some major issues that he's projecting.
Yeah, it was very dismissive because Ryan was helpful.
Yeah, they got out because of Ryan.
Yeah, I love Ace, but this season is making it very challenging for me to be actively enjoying him.
Yeah.
So, but that's okay. It's good. It's good to have characters have ups and downs and be full like well-rounded people. I'll stick with him, but man, right now Park ain't got no flaws.
Yeah. Speaking of Park, Nancy's outside Icarus Hall looking at the pictures that Ace sent her. I also like how the text message that came through, because Ace was voice texting and it was like, oh, I just emailed you the thing, you know, the pictures. And then you have Ryan saying, tell Nancy I say hi. I just thought that was a cute little detail there. And then Park comes up. Nancy says that when he asked her earlier about Trot, that her answer was kind of incomplete.
Yeah. And he's like, I know. Yep. You have a tell. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, what is it? He's like, meh, you can figure that out.
Yeah.
So I would love a scene in a future episode of Nancy standing in front of a mirror just lying to try to sleuth her way into figuring out what her tell is so she can stop doing it.
Or like her talking to Carson and then just a realization on their face. Oh.
That's what I do. And he's like, what? No, nothing, Dad. That would be really funny.
And important here that we learned that he never thought she was a suspect.
Yeah.
So I wonder if he was on to Temperance.
Oh, he knew it was Temperance and he was trying to figure out Nancy's connection and trying to see if Nancy would help him pin down Temperance.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
Yeah. But that's why he's been all friendly with her and going on coffee dates and stuff.
It wasn't really talked about in this episode at all, even though she was like dying on a table and she had like three characters she's interacted with the most, even though we haven't seen her interact with him until this episode, more or less. And so it was kind of interesting that she like had her three people around and there was like no real talk about that.
Yeah. Well, triage, they had important stuff going on.
Meh, minor details.
And I like how Park says that Temperance is awake and I told her that you'd have some questions for her. I like that he respects her, that she gets to go in and ask the questions, and he trusts that she's going to ask the right ones.
Yeah, even though this is literally his job.
Yeah, but he is out of his element because, you know, there's apparently Charity is reincarnating. So every time the person who had the piece of Charity's soul dies, then a new person reincarnates as her.
Dun, dun, dun.
So did Beckett Dow become the Copperhead?
He might have become the Copperhead. Also, didn't it, like the four pieces of the soul, didn't they become the people that the Frozen Hearts killer was killing?
Yeah.
How did the soul like get down into the jockstrap guy?
I guess just the soldiers, maybe.
Like the children and the
offspring. So if you're but reincarnation doesn't have to be within the same family.
Oh, okay. So, I wonder who else, who the other people are going to be.
Well, yeah, because there's only been three, right? So there has to be one last.
I thought there was only two.
There was Matthew Burke. Oh, Jake Kazim.
Because one of them was killed by Trot.
The jockstrap. He was killed by Trot.
Okay.
Okay, so there were two. So Temperance says, as soon as you lowered the barrier to get back into Horseshoe Bay, that's when the Copperhead started killing immediately all people with a piece of Charity's soul. And Nancy offers more of her blood, which I thought was very nice, but Temperance says she needs new cells.
Yes, and so she has the hair and she's like, I need to do this part of my own. And so they leave her be. I don't know if I would have. I just don't trust her.
No. Like,
girl, all this stuff just happened. You are toasted crispy, like you've got steam coming off your wounds still. I don't know if leaving you alone in this room is the best idea.
No, nothing about this episode has been a great idea.
So then we go back to the claw and we have Eve and George, and Eve comes clean and confesses that she is the person that Ned protected at that party when he accidentally killed someone in self-defense. He was defending her.
And he has not replied to any of her attempts to reach out since then.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah. Eve says that she knows that Nick had a way of centering himself. And then it kind of clicks. And she's like, I know where he is. Before we find Nick, Nancy is admitting that, like, oh, I guess Temperance is capable of heartbreak. And then we see Temperance, but no longer in Temperance's body.
Okay, why did this happen? Why did they change actresses?
I don't know.
I get why it happened. Well, sort of. As much as I was able to follow, I get why this happened because now she just looks like the daughter. Sure. Mm-hmm. But from a TV perspective, this felt very much like back in the day. If they had to replace the actresses, they'd be like, you know, it's such a soap opera thing. Like, you fall down 10 flights of stairs and then you get a reconstructed face and you're actually played by a new person.
Yeah.
Like, it felt very much like that. And so I'm wondering, it seemed weird to write it into the plot.
Yeah. I feel like for Temperance's purposes that she had to become Charity's body. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to come into play, that there will be a reason.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. No, I trust the writers of this show. It just felt weird. Like, it just felt like a moment that was like, okay, I'm still with you, but I'm curious where you're going. Mm-hmm. That was very dramatically shot too, with her walking towards them down the hallway. Yeah. The same place that we first saw the hat demon.
Oh yeah.
And she like stabbed him, or she like got rid of him or whatever. It was in mm-hmm. front of that big window.
Yeah. Good call. I didn't remember that place. And then we finally find Nick.
Yeah, and George stays in the car.
That was weird.
I don't know if I bought that George would have stayed. She probably she probably had to go through her own feelings and emotions because they need to work on stuff. And she probably feels a little insecure about where they stand right now.
Yeah, she was probably nervous to go talk. If I go talk to him, what if he's going to break up with me?
Yeah.
So I'll send her in.
Right. And he's throwing balls around, and then Eve goes up and he's like, what are you doing here? And she's like, oh, hey, I need your help. I think I killed someone. Okay. What? Why? What?
I don't know.
Do you buy this? Is she up to no good?
There's definitely something weird going on. How do you say, timing? I think I killed someone?
I mean, that's just that could just be a hook for the next episode. But
right, but like, I feel like if I were to kill someone, I would know.
Whoa.
Like,
and they will be dead. Yes. No, you make a very good point. You think you killed, like, the think makes it like, it's just too passive.
Yeah.
Like, you either did or you didn't.
Yeah.
Who knows? I trust this show when it comes to detective stories. I trust this show with mysteries. I am very excited to see what this is. My issue was that it seems like it actually might have been a coincidence that she came to find Nick the same time he just happened to leave. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I buy that.
Yeah.
Or if it is, then maybe it was just to make George suspicious and to be able to like have the scene where George first finds her and kind of plays through her head like what's going on. And mm-hmm. and then she does find out that she was lying to her. So maybe Eve really just did show up coincidentally.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of a misdirect to make us more suspicious of her for making Nick go away mm-hmm. versus, oh no, there's just this new thing we're going to have to deal with.
Yeah.
But also, I don't feel like he's really had time to process his stuff. He's been gone for a day.
Oh yeah, this is not a long enough walkabout.
No. And he and George have a lot of conversations that happen. So now mm-hmm. what are we going to do? We're going to go on this like Eve adventure? No, he doesn't need to deal with that right now.
No. Also, I mean, was he just for 24 hours just out there throwing footballs? I feel like he had to go somewhere else. He had to go get some food, take a nap. Like,
right. Where did he sleep?
Yeah.
His car, I guess. We will probably find out. I'm the fact that Nick was gone for the majority of this episode, I'm sure we will get a lot of him in the next one.
Yeah.
I'm excited for it. I also, this episode felt, I think part of my thing with it is, one, my favorite episode of the whole season was the last one, the one right before this. Mm-hmm. So it's always kind of hard to keep the momentum going.
Yeah.
But then the other thing is, this episode had a lot of people being separated, and I think the show is really strong. And this season in general has kind of been getting back to them having their own separate little missions and partnerships and everything. But I think the show is the strongest when there's a bunch of them working together.
Yeah.
Like the last episode was the three Drew Crew girls working together to save George. Mm-hmm. And that was really strong. And then like a bunch of the guys were working together on the teenage thing, you know? So yeah. It was more groups, and this felt very separate or very pairs.
Yeah. And then the pairs that were there were arguing with each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Because Nancy and Bess have all this tension about Temperance mm-hmm. and everything. about how much he can be trusted. So they're not as great right now as they were last episode when they saved George's life.
Right. Yeah. I like this next thing with Ace and the ghost, where he's if it is a ghost, talking to it and being like, just because you're gone, you know, doesn't mean that your story is, you know, maybe that's my calling in life, is to help these stories be told. Cause that's what he did with the man who was in, back when they found Trot, he was like the vessel for the spirit of.
Oh yeah. When he was like possessed.
Yeah.
Huh.
And he was helping get that guy's story told.
Nice.
So maybe this is what he wants to do.
Maybe. What did you hear the ghost thing saying?
Die.
Okay.
Die. Yeah. That's what the closed caption said too.
Oh, okay, cool. I didn't have the captions on, but yeah. I heard die, but I wasn't 100% sure. And then we get Temperance basically confessing to herself in the form of a letter to her daughter. So I guess she just wants to get her daughter back is her primary motivation.
Yeah.
So creepily make yourself look like her.
Yeah. And she says that Nancy's place in the Hudson bloodline is key to get you back. Soon we'll be one in spirit and in body.
Well, she already looks like her, so she's halfway there.
Yeah. And then soon they can finish the work we started. I have no idea.
I'm intrigued. I'm excited. I trust the creators of the show. But I gotta be honest, this was the most confusing episode to me. And this is not anything against the actress. I don't like Temperance.
Oh, you can't trust her. Like, she is, yeah.
There's villains that I'm, like, getting more excited about on different things, or that, like, I love to hate them or whatever. Mm-hmm. I just, there's something about her that I'm like, I'm not on board right now.
Yeah.
But I did really like her bad dinner theater scene where she was clearly getting Bess to take that item.
Yeah.
And I mean, she's smooth. For whatever reason, these people are still talking to her. They're still falling for her shenanigans, even though I think all of them, even Bess, on some level know they can't trust her. They still do.
Yeah.
I'm hoping they get the upper hand on her. And I'm hoping that we find out that maybe the end of season two, where you saw all of the Wraith flashbacks, I'm hoping we maybe get a thing where we find out that the Drew crew's been playing Temperance a little bit throughout the season. Like maybe they've been more aware than they're seeming to be, or maybe that they are like, are discussing things more than they're showing us.
I could see that happening to an extent.
Because otherwise, but, they
got played in this one.
I know. They just seem so clueless.
And, you know, with the whole stroke for Trot, like, Nancy got played with that.
Oh, yeah, no, she did not intentionally mean to kill him. Unless she did, because he is a murderer.
Right, but she would want justice.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, Sarah, do you have anything for the Hardy Party, where we discuss different ways that Ace is a Hardy boy?
This was fun. I started, you know, desperately searching for Hardy Boy related to anything in this episode. And so I was trying to look at Hardy Boy's Joe Hardy sleeping on the couch. And I came across a fanfic.
Is this appropriate for our podcast rating?
It is Nightwing and Hardy Boy's Nancy Drew crossover. So this is the best of all your worlds. So
Nightwing as in like Batman. Dick Grayson.
But also Tim Drake is in it. Damien. Red Hood, Kid Flash.
What? So it's just like a Robin fanfic about the Hardy Boys?
And I'm pretty sure, I haven't read all of it yet, but it seems like Nightwing and Joe Hardy are falling in love.
Oh my God. Okay. Well, you should send me a link to that.
Absolutely. So as I got distracted doing more research because I just started reading this.
That's really funny.
And it's kind of fun. They're like, well, Bruce would use Frank and Joe Hardy as like examples with the GCPD because, oh, they're only teenagers and they're solving crime. So it's okay that I have Robin working with me.
Oh, fanfic. Okay, well.
in that one, Joe Hardy slept on the couch.
Which I would imagine is how you found it.
Yes.
You never fail to surprise me. Cool. What about your MVPs, Sarah?
So I think the best sleuth / most useful, I think it was Nancy.
I also was thinking Nancy.
She was on top of things. She was like, okay, we need to, I mean, she wasn't on top of everything, but she was like, okay, let's let the light demon in to kill these things, you know.
She did a pretty good job of being on the defense this time. Like, mm-hmm. her reactions were pretty quick.
Yeah.
Even with, like, cutting her palm open and, like, all of that. She didn't hesitate. And when you're Nancy Drew in these situations, you don't really have time to hesitate.
Yeah. All right. Who was your most enjoyable one?
I love Park so much.
That's my answer, too.
Oh, look at us agreeing. Yeah. Just the... this was the first moment that we got where he really got to do, like, a dramatic scene mm-hmm. of talking about Eleanor. I thought he handled that really well. It was really cute how he was, like, bandaging up Nancy right before. Yeah, I liked it. And his little lean towards her at the first scene of the episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it. I like his subtleties. And I'm trusting him more now.
Yeah.
Which has me a little concerned.
Yeah.
Because they could pull the rug out from under us. Because I no longer want him to be a murderer and or dead.
I was going to say, I thought you thought he was dead.
Well, I thought he was a murderer first.
Yeah, that's true.
And then
true.
I thought he was dead. Watch me, like, completely, like, take away all of those things. And then the last episode, we find out that they're all true. And he's evil and awful. And I'm just
what
devastated.
If he has the last piece of Charity's soul? I hope not.
As I cry. All right. Well, what's next, Sarah?
You can join us next week for the last episode before the winter break, The Voices in the Frost.
Ooh.
So I'm thinking that's going to be related to the Frozen Heart Killer.
Yeah, absolutely.
I haven't seen any previews, but I feel like the voices, like, maybe they're going to talk to past victims of the Frozen Heart Killer.
Maybe. Maybe we'll find out where the other parts of the soul are.
Yeah.
Now I'm really concerned that it's in Park.
Yeah. Well, if it's in Park or, like, Ryan or... Man, that would suck.
We will have to watch to find out.
Yeah.
Enjoy that episode and then tune back in to hear our thoughts. Thank you so much for listening. Till next time, keep on sleeping.
Bye.
There. I'm Rachel.
I'm Tristan.
We're the hosts of The Nooniverse on the Fandom Limb Network. Our podcast dives into everything related to the Asian entertainment scene. Whether it's K-pop, K-dramas, boys love, our universe covers it all. We post every other Tuesday morning to dish about what we're watching, who we love, and why you should too. You can listen to us on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you're interested in listening to real conversations about the Asian entertainment wave that doesn't get enough love, then you'll love The Nooniverse.